Welcome back, everybody, to the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel. And on this week's episode, I have a great interview with an incredible autism mom, Lexis. Lexis is mom to 4 amazing children, 3 of which are on the spectrum. So we are talking homeschooling. We are talking about diagnosing. We are talking about, we get into a great conversation about advocating when we have to deal with recommendations from therapy providers and therapy centers that we don't necessarily agree with, and learning to trust our instincts and, you know, our guts as parents. So I don't want to keep you guys any longer. Please enjoy my interview with Lexis. All right, I'm back, and I am pleased to be joined from Texas. Another amazing mom, Lexis. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. You've got 4 amazing kids, am I right?
I have 4 amazing children, yes.
Nice. How old are they?
My oldest is 8, my daughter. Okay. She has ADHD. My middle child, Oslo, he is 3, going to be 4 in July, and is autistic. And then I have the twins, Milo and Lago. They are 2 years old and also diagnosed autistic.
Nice. Do you want to take us back to talk about, you know, everybody says that when you meet one person with autism, you know, one person with autism. I mean,
oh yeah.
So do you want to? I'm sure they all have their similarities and differences. Do you kind of want to take us back to the beginning, to your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. So it kind of starts with Oslo. Avi.
Okay.
And if I go back to the very beginning, I'll just be completely honest. I just had a feeling that something was up, and I don't know what up was at that point in time.
Okay.
It was kind of just a feeling that, you know, was it a delay? Was it, you know, just different? But it was completely different from my first child. And all up into the point of when he was a year old, I had made that, you know, mental decision that, hey, I think something's up and I really want to get him checked out. However, now, Oslo, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but were you thinking he was on the spectrum, or did you just know that, you know, something, you know, there was something going on here that needed to be investigated?
You know, Fred, I didn't even know what autism was,
right?
Like, if I'm being completely honest. I didn't even know that that was a possibility. Had, you know, my daughter went through the same questionnaires when she was born and went through her toddler stages and preschool stages. However, because, you know, you take those questionnaires and you're either given information after it or, oh, your child passed, you're fine. You don't get any information. So I did not even know what those questionnaires were for.
Right.
Bold and behold that, therefore, if your child might be autistic or have special needs. So it wasn't until his first birthday when I noticed that, you know, he would say like mom, mama, and dada. And those words just dropped. He started doing gestures with his body that I was not familiar with. And honestly, the screaming was so intense, and I wanted to know what was this, you know, like,
yeah.
This is brand new to me. So, I love our pediatrician. My pediatrician is an amazing person and we have a great relationship, but because he was just excelling in all these other fields and my child's really, really big. I mean, Oslo was weighing at about 30 pounds by like his first birthday. He was a big boy. She just did not feel like anything was wrong with him. And I don't mean wrong, like, you know, terrible, but just,
right.
He was really growing. He was a growing child. And so, you know, she asked me to wait until he was 2 before we actually proceed with anything. And so I did. And you know, he was 2 and he wasn't saying anything now. He was screaming. He was aggressive towards himself, towards me, towards his sister sometimes, you know, if he really wanted a toy. And it was just it was a lot. And I said, I can't wait anymore. I need answers. So in Texas, we have ECI, which I think is known farly along the nation, early childhood intervention.
Yes.
And what I didn't know was that ECI stops at the age of 3. So when I did call up and asked for some help or something, like, you know, is there testing or anything to be done? They did let me know that if we did go on board, he was going to fall short of services because they would cap out at about, you know, 6 months since he was already 2.5.
Right.
So, but they did help me with doing the diagnosing, you know, doing the M chats and stuff like that, and starting to talk to me about what autism is. And now I had something and I wanted to run with it. And I did. I got him into a neurologist. And then a little bit before his 3rd birthday, we had him officially diagnosed as autistic. And it was just, it was everything and also kind of nothing at the same time for me. It gave me answers that I needed as a parent to, you know, have closure with my thoughts before, give myself grace that, you know, I wasn't crazy. Something mm-hmm. was up. And now we know what it is. And it gave me that push to now strive and be the parent that I am today. When we had his diagnosis, we went for speech therapies, OT. I did not want to go full force into ABA yet. I wanted to dip my toes into all the therapies a little bit before I went into that realm. Okay. And, you know, it was just, it was life-changing to be able to know what autism was and how I can now help my child, you know. And then I was pregnant with twins. Let me tell you something. I wanted a 3rd baby and I got 3 and 4.
Well, you got your 3rd, yeah. You got 3. You got, yeah, you got an extra one.
Yeah, so it was definitely a big surprise. And at this point, I was like, how on earth am I going to do this? you know, we had just – we knew that Usa was autistic. And so a lot of people asked me, like, oh, did that have any reflection on wanting to have more kids? And I'm like, well, no, because honestly, it was all in the same time frame of finding out I was pregnant with the twins. But also, like, I wouldn't change a thing because my kids are amazing. Mm-hmm. My twins are Milo and Lago. And this was an from birth experience, I'm telling you, that I just knew. Like, even in the NICU when they had their little fish tanks and things, like, I knew. I was like, you know what? The chances of premature babies being autistic on the spectrum are really high. And
are they?
I accepted that. Yeah. Yeah, they are. I accepted that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
They start doing all sorts of testings and questionnaires from like the moment they leave the NICU. Actually, in the state of Texas, you have to go mandatory to follow up pediatric appointments for a specialized clinic in Texas called First Steps.
Okay.
By law. And if you don't, like, you could get in a lot of trouble. And that's so they can help you if your children are on the spectrum or if they do have other disabilities, that way they can help you and you can have those services provided to you. So thankfully for the twins, we got services from the day they left the NICU and on.
Wow.
Now, Milo wasn't diagnosed until 18 months, but I knew for a fact that Milo was because there was just no communication, no staring. He was a very happy baby. But there was just something kind of missing in that realm of things. Lago was diagnosed after his 2nd birthday, and he's like the chillest. He's the chillest kid on the spectrum, if I'm being honest. Like, he literally is the toddler with a backwards hat and the sunglasses, and he doesn't talk too much, but he will say hey to you.
Okay.
He really His diagnosis came with time because of the fact that he is so happy. And it wasn't until we actually took him into the neurologist where the neurologist was like, Lexis, this was a little challenging for me because he's so relaxed, but he doesn't make the eye contact and he doesn't
right.
express his needs. You know, she was like, I want to diagnose him as autistic. And I said, go for it. Let's do it. At this point, I have 3 autistic children and nothing's going to stop us. Let me get my services that I need. Let me get my paperwork. Let me get this started. The fire was lit in me, Fred, from the moment Oslo was born. And I just wanted to make sure that I did everything I could for my kids.
Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of the same way. We're like with Alex, it was a little different. He was diagnosed with ADHD and sensory processing disorder when he was 3.
Yeah.
But we were the same way. Like, you know, whatever he needs, let's get it now and let's move on and, you know, let's get going. And then he wasn't diagnosed with autism until right before his 10th birthday, because when he was younger, they said he was too social to be on the spectrum. But yeah, same thing. So like once he was finally diagnosed autistic, like, you know, let's get a game plan. What does he need? What do we do?
Right.
You know, how do we go? Where do we go from here?
And you know what really, what irks me is like the whole social aspect of it. Like, and I think a lot of adults in the community can, you know, definitely have voice in this. Like, you know, they can be social and still be autistic. Like,
yeah.
There's no saying that, you know, oh, I'm just going to be quiet to myself and not interact with anybody.
Right. I think social stuff can look different for everybody, because with Alex's case, he can be very social with adults and with younger kids, like toddlers and things like that. But with kids his own age, it's very difficult for him.
Exactly. Yes. I'm right there with you. It's so funny. Like all of them are different. My twins would rather be playing with older kids and interacting with older kids. And there's Oslo, who doesn't want to interact with anybody.
Right.
But you can play next to him. He will he loves to have people next to him. Just don't interrupt his play and everything's really good. And so it's so funny, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people who listen can agree that Legos are just a God-given scent for children who are autistic, or magnet tiles. And so we all have our own sets and we'll just play in a circle, but nobody touches anybody else's towers, okay?
Yeah, what are they? Parallel play, they call it. Yeah.
Yes, parallel play. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So now you emailed me a lot of great information about you guys before we started chatting here. And I want to go into a story that you told me about, because I want to touch on advocating for our kids.
Yes.
About an issue you had with, was it a therapy center or a school?
Yep. Yeah, let's dig into it. So recently a new therapy center opened up in our area. When I was kind of searching online, you know, the search never ends. You're always trying to find services, right? And so because I do homeschool my kids, I know we'll talk about that later, but we are homebodies, and my home is set up to be basically a therapy center. They just thrive in this environment. I was really looking for in-home services versus taking them into a center, and their website mentioned that they actually were offering in-home services in our area. So I was really excited about that. I gave them my information. They scheduled a call with me and wanted to have a Zoom meeting with the in-home service coordinator. And I just got to take a second to step back, because, you know, my advocate heart gets really beating fast here. The service coordinator, from the very beginning, I could tell it was going to be a very difficult call, because the questions were not very more focused on my children and what services they needed, but more so, why was I looking for services for my kids? And, you know, why did I think that in-home was the option for them? And it was just, you know, from that moment, I could feel there were red flags, but I wanted to give her a chance. And when she opened the floor to me to, you know, explain, like, you know, why I wanted in-home services, and to tell her a little bit more about the therapies that my children have had in the past, that's kind of where things got a little hectic. I did mention to her that my boys were in speech and OT, and unfortunately, because they aged out of the services at age 3, we really didn't have any more services in home. Or for the twins, their time was really running out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the wait list for many therapy centers and other in-home services, but everything is waitlisted for like 2 years and on. Like I had to get these boys on the list the moment they were born.
No, I believe you because we have been, Alex was diagnosed with autism in 2020. And this coming Monday, we're finally starting ABA. So 2 years.
It's crazy.
Yeah, 2 years later. We're in this. We're in the same boat.
Literally, we had the same thing. We did a services for OT. They're like, well, we have a 2-8 year list, and I'm like, wow, okay. And then we just got a call a month ago, and they're like, hey, do you remember us? And I was like, do I remember you?
Yeah.
Yes. And so and if it's not the wait list, it's the insurance, it's the cost. And so you really have to, you know, do a lot of research on these places. And so I was telling her that, you know, we weren't too fortunate right now with trying to get services. So instead of waiting, I wanted to put my foot forward, and I researched online, and I found that there were, you know, virtual sessions, there were on the Instagram community, there's a ton of great therapists online mm-hmm. who are out there giving you great information, giving you courses. I took that and I ran with it. And it was such a game changer for our family. I truly believe and stand by a majority of the therapists on there that really want to help families.
Honestly, we did the same exact thing you did.
Yeah.
I found an amazing, amazing person on Instagram. Molly Johnson, the autism consultant, and
right,
you know, she helped us with visual schedules, behavior charts,
yes.
Social cue cards, and things like that. You know,
really tell that these individuals care about your children because of the information that they're giving you. Like, this was stuff that I had not even had given to me in an actual therapeutic setting.
Yep.
So after explaining that information to the in-home service coordinator, you know, I told her that we did all these courses online and it really, really helped my children. And it was just kind of like the saving grace for our family in the midterm of not having services. And so because of that, I've been able to see them thrive and reach certain goals that they haven't reached before. And I really felt that in-home would be great because I can work with a therapist, or therapist can share their thoughts with me, and we could really make a great team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm their mother. I have seen it. I live it, how they do therapy with me at home. And I just really felt that it would be a great fit for them. You know, I have to advocate for what I believe is best for my children. And her response really baffled me. And the response was that, you know, Ms. Gardner, you may be their mother, you may be their biggest advocate, but, you know, my therapists, my BCBAs, anyone in clinic, they went to college and they have their degree. And at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to know best for your child. And, you know, I gave her a second because I knew she wasn't done. She went on to tell me, because I had mentioned before she had disclosed that information with me, that I was not looking for full-time services. If we did do ABA therapy, I was looking for part-time because I knew my children, they get very distressed and I was not going to have extreme aggressive meltdowns at home, et cetera. And she said, you know, we won't be willing to work with you for part-time hours. It's going to be full-time hours. My therapists are going to come to your home and they're going to evaluate your children. And whatever they tell me is going to go into their plan, their action plan. And that's what's going to be done.
Wow.
And, you know, and she just said, furthermore, I really have to let you know that they studied for this. They had hours of this, you know, they know what's best for your children. And I said, you know what? Thank you so much. You have a great day. And I hung up.
Yeah.
I was and for the viewers, it wasn't more so like, you know, I was just offended or anything like that. I'm not going to say I wasn't offended. I was offended, but I was more so hurt, and I was more so thinking, had this been my first interaction with a therapy center after receiving diagnosis that my child is autistic, I would have cried and I would have thought that they're right. I don't know my children.
Right.
I don't know what's best for them. And that is what really set me off. And the amount of response that I got from some of my followers on Instagram blew my mind, how they had gone through similar experiences. They've been talked down to, that in one case that there was a therapy center that literally told the parent that, you know, you have absolutely no say here. We're going to do what we need to for your child, and you can either go with it or not.
Yeah.
I just, and this is not to drag therapy, because there are great therapists, like we just mentioned before, that are willing to do the work with you, that care about your children, love your children. But this is more so an eye-opening for parents. Like, if you even get this tiny little gut feeling that something is off, something is wrong, those are like your mind and your body telling you, ask questions.
Yeah, speak up. Yeah, we've all been there, and if you haven't been there yet, you will be. I mean, exactly. I remember when Alex was younger, and we would have the different therapists come into the in and out of the house, and we would have our regular like meetings with, you know, right, with his whole team of people to see what's working, what's not working, and Alex would be present at these things, and you know, he got old enough where he understood, like when we're talking about like some of his issues, whatever it was, aggression or right, you know, eloping, or he knew we were talking about him. So it's like, all right, why does he, you know, finally I spoke up and said, well, I don't want him present when we're talking, yes, about some of these issues. He doesn't need to hear us talking about all of the, exactly, all of the problems we're trying to figure out with him, you know, because you know, that's all you talk about.
Right. Yeah. And it's so true. Like, and even for our kiddos who are nonverbal, mm-hmm, and non-speaking, like, yeah, they still can hear you. They can still feel your body language. You know, it is so important that in those moments we advocate for our children, because right, who else but us to be there for them, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, I told them, you know what, I'm not interested. Actually, to this day, they are still sending me emails and calling me, and I finally just had to like say, please stop.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. Like, they burned that bridge with me, and I'm gonna look elsewhere. And I'm actually, even though like I was like kind of traumatized from that call for a little bit, a good friend of mine suggested another center, and they were open arms welcoming me, and they literally heard me out. They even heard this whole spiel about what happened with the other center. And they were like, Miss Gardner, whatever you are wanting for your children, we will help work with you. And yeah, you tell us the hours, you tell us what goals, and we're going to come together and create this wonderful team. And I said, this is how it should be. Yeah. This is what we're looking for. This is the first interaction that should happen when somebody is asking for services. There's probably parents out there that are running away from services because of a bad interaction. There's probably parents out there who don't know that bad things are happening,
right,
because, you know, they can't speak up for their kids. And that's why if I leave anybody with anything today, it's to have the confidence to say when something feels off, to just say it.
Absolutely.
And it's just so important. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Now, you have 4 great kids, and you homeschool all of them?
I do. Well, I plan to. Okay. My oldest is 8, and so we just finished the second grade year of homeschooling, and she has ADHD. And also, newsflash, I also have ADHD, and that was not diagnosed until later on in okay, my earlier 20s, and it was life-changing for me to get that diagnosis, because it just made sense. It made so much sense. And it also goes into the reasoning why I'm choosing to homeschool my kids. The public school district that I attended, I just felt was failing me. I had dyslexia. I had a lot of issues that
okay,
actually weren't brought to light until I left the public school administration. My parents actually took me out, and they homeschooled me, and I am a product of homeschool, and I'm proud to say it. I was able to graduate early. I started college when I was 15. I did a lot of learning, and I got to do it on my own time, and it was great. And that's coming from the high school experience of homeschooling. And now I'm just diving into the experience of just learning with my children that really brings out the best in us and the most in me as a parent. And it's just awesome. We started homeschooling. I had planned to homeschool my daughter even before I knew my daughter was going to be my daughter. we started in kinder, and then I was pregnant with the twins, and I had Oslo, who was being diagnosed autistic, and it was just a lot. With my pregnancy with the twins, there actually was a lot of complications. So I needed that assistance, and I put her in the public school administration. And within like the first week, she got punched in the face, and her whole learning experience was so minimal. And this is not to bash on public school, because there's some great districts out there that are amazing for all children of all abilities. And it was just, you know, it wasn't the experience that I wanted for her. And then COVID happened. So at this point, I was like, you know what? This is like life telling me, let's stick to our game plan and let's just get into homeschooling. And so we did, and we thrived. She was going from that pre-K reading level that she was in kinder to when she started working with me. By the end of first grade, she was at a second grade level. Her math skills just blossomed. It's just, I was able to find these techniques and things that work for her. And it was just night and day in her learning. She is also, like I mentioned, ADHD. Oh my gosh, I can't even talk. I'm so sorry. She has ADHD. And it's very important when you have a child with any type of learning disability that you find what works for them, because it'll do wonders. And so, you know, when it comes to like spelling and stuff, like I can't just set her down and have her spell out words. Like, she has to be moving. And so I put like letters all over the place. I'm like, okay, let's spell this word, find the S, find the T, you know. Nice. And it's just, it's a different experience, and I love it. And I want that for all my kids, because I have so many kids, and you know, three of them are autistic, and I want them to thrive in life. And I really feel that the homeschool experience is doing that for them. So I do plan on homeschooling all of them. Also just finished his pre-K. We call it pre-K three since he's three. And it was awesome. I mean, I'm not going to say that this will happen for every autistic child out there, but he's doing second grade math with me because that's what he was learning with his sister. And I would have never thought that my child, who just started speaking a year ago, could do second grade math. So, you know, it's
amazing
works,
what they can pick up.
Yeah.
When they're exposed,
if it works,
to
it works.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, that's okay too. And, you know, if I have to put them in school, I'm sure I'll find a great place where they can go. But right now, like, my goal is to definitely homeschool them. I've just learned so much about myself in this homeschool experience, and my children have too, that it's just a really safe and comfort space for us. And that's why I do it. I encourage all parents, if they even have like a little bit of homeschool curiosity, to give it a shot. You don't have to dedicate yourself. There's lots of online resources that'll even let you do a trial, so you don't have to go into like the cost and burden of homeschooling.
Okay.
But give it a shot. And then if there's like even just a little bit of spark that you really feel like that's something that's going to work for you, give it, like, go for it. Like, full disclosure, it takes a year or two before you feel comfortable, but you know, we're on year three now and we are rocking it. We are just, I don't know. She keeps saying she's going to be the next president. So look out, world.
That's awesome. That's amazing. I, you know, I can't thank you enough for everything today. You've given us a ton of great information, a ton of great advice. Again, I can't thank you enough. If people do want to find you to ask you any types of questions, advocacy or homeschooling, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. I recently went private for the time being, but I do accept a friend request. So you can find me on IG at homeschool for all. And I'm very, I guess, lively on there, if you would say. Right now it is summer break for us, so you won't get too much homeschool content, but come September you will. And I kind of just talk about everyday life with children on the spectrum, and me having ADHD and all the fun things that come with being a parent to all these awesome kids. So I really hope that I can make new friends. And I am so thankful for having time here with you tonight, Fred. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
I really hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. And I can't let you guys go without the Spectrum Dad joke of the week. So here it goes. Why does a pitcher only raise one leg when he throws the ball? Because if he raised both legs, he would fall down. I'll talk to you guys next week. Don't forget to keep leaving me those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. And if you want to hit me up on Instagram, you can find me there at the Spectrum Dad Pod. Talk to you guys next week.